Time now for Inside the Stripes. People have been waiting for this one all week after what happened Sunday in Edmonton. Former CFL referee for over 30 years. Now he's an evaluator. Bud Steen joins us. Steiner, how are you?
I'm not sure. We'll find out in a minute or two. You know, the good part about today, two good things. One, I find out you're going out to Winnipeg and are going to hang at the Spirit for a while. And
I've always been there a few times.
I'll tell you what, that is the party, the Grey Cup party. It's been that way for a long, long time. So if you're going to Winnipeg, do yourself a favor. They have great music, great people, a lot of fun. And, you know, if you go looking, you're going to find the guys that are working the game, because that's where the officials hang, at the Spirit of Edmonton.
Something tells me they won't be wearing their name on their shirt when they're in there, though.
You know, generally speaking, there's enough recognizable faces you know who the guys are. So if you get in there Thursday night, because after Thursday, things start to get tightened down for the crew that's working. But Thursday night, the boys will let their hair down, and, you know, you might have some fun with them.
You could have a few chats with and Thursday is when they will announce the crew.
That's right.
You sure you don't want to announce it today?
I
think we're the only referee show in Canada. We probably should be the one that announces it.
I would like to think so, but needless to say, it's difficult enough for me to be on this show. I am not going to abuse the trust that the league has given me, but thanks for having me here today, because I'm going shopping after.
Oh, yeah.
This room is packed with stuff. So if you're out in your car,
hey buddy, I hear you can buy your golf game here today. So for you, this is like you're the prime person to come down here today.
No. They don't sell toilets here.
Well, they sell balls that will, you know, they bounce off the trees better back onto the fairway.
You know, I was out golfing with Dwayne Mandrusiak, the equipment manager at the Eskimos. Speaking of hackers, and he bounced one off the windshield of one of the service carts at the Highlands, scared the hell out of the poor guy in the cart. So, yeah. Anyway.
So let's get to it. It's the play that everybody, you know, Eskimo fans around the and it really, in the end, it didn't change the game, of course, because after the lengthy delay, Edmonton got the ball anyway. On the very first play, they go 55 yards, touchdown to Darrell Walker. And so, you know, they didn't lose any points on that transaction.
Right.
But, you know, inadvertent whistles happen. No one wants it to happen, but it did happen. But that was kind of the least of the problems when that play unfolded. But can you kind of walk us through maybe where the errors were? Because video review had done a really good job. And I'm sure there was a lot of people that were frustrated with how that whole sequence of events played out.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, it's a good thing that the bunker isn't mic'd, because I was up in the bunker as a spectator doing an awful lot of screaming. That was a situation where we had an unfortunate breakdown in communication. So it came together something like this. Messam runs up the middle, gets turned around, and goes to the ground butt first. Sits on the he's taken to the ground butt first. The ball comes out on he's carrying it in his left arm. The ball comes out on his left side, and then goes into the possession of the Eskimos. The line of scrimmage official at the bottom on the Eskimo side, so on Messam's right, believes he sees Messam in possession of the ball go to the ground and blows his whistle. In our world, we call it a chocolate whistle.
What does that mean?
It means you can expect the bad kind of chocolate after the game.
Okay.
What we do is...
I get it now. Okay.
Yeah.
So a sheet whistle.
Yes, that is correct.
Perfect.
Yes, that is correct. So the Eskimos run the ball into the end zone. Lacey's excited, kicks the ball into the stands. The referee, because it's a turnover situation, the referee has not heard the whistle. Commonwealth Stadium was as loud as it has been in 20 years on Sunday afternoon, and, you know, thanks to the Eskimo fans, because they were there to enjoy themselves. So he starts the process with Command Center. The two line of scrimmage officials then join the referee after about 60 seconds of review having occurred, and the referee is then told that there was a whistle, and so between the referee and the line of scrimmage officials, they had to piece together when that whistle took place, because in our game, regardless of replay, a whistle kills the play. And had that whistle gone prior to the ball being out of Messam's possession, there would have been nothing that anybody could have done. The ball could not have gone back to the Eskimos. So there were conversations about that. You know, when was the whistle? And you have to appreciate that the officials involved are now piecing it together in their mind's eye, so to speak. They do that. Toronto had been actively engaged in reviewing the play to determine whether or not we had down with contact or not. All of a sudden, Toronto's told, hang on, we've got an inadvertent whistle. And so Toronto stops its process. After a considerable and very unnerving period of time that we all experienced, it was determined that the ball was out. You heard Kim Murphy come out and announce that there wasn't, that it was Calgary's ball, that there wasn't anything that could help Edmonton
except for challenges.
A coach's challenge.
Yeah.
And then it comes down to a determination by the command center whether or not Edmonton immediately gained possession of the loose ball, and that, but by then they'd seen the play so many times it was pretty simple, and so the correct decision was made. So it was wise on Coach Jones's part to have his flag handy and to challenge that play after the decision had been announced. Unfortunately, it really didn't do the entire replay process a lot of good. We've worked very hard over the last season to get it right, to provide the correct decisions to the game, and boy, that was a bruising, unfortunately. And we've got some work to do now to get people back in the fold. And you know, I would suspect that we're probably going to see some changes associated with replay over the winter. It'll be something that's going to come to Rules Committee. I know they've already met once, and there were a few things associated with replay that they were going to be looking at. And I now suspect that starting with the governor's meeting on Friday associated with Grey Cup, there'll be a lot of discussion associated with that. And we'll probably see some things come in with the entire replay process next year, because frankly, that just, you know, we got it right, but it didn't look good, and it was just too unsettling for, frankly, the Eskimo fans to go through all of that, and then, unfortunately, Dion Lacey was so excited when he got the ball in.
So that's my question, yep. Because the ball never went in the stands when he kicked it. If you watch the replay, yep. it stayed in the end zone. Like, he tried to kick it and maybe want to kick it farther, but he thumped it. Because the official, now maybe he just misannounced it, but he said by kicking it in the stands. Is the penalty that you just can't kick the ball because it's still offensive possession, or is it kicking it in the stands?
No, you can't mess with the other team's football.
Okay, that's what I thought. So he just shouldn't. It was an extra added error by saying into the crowd.
That's
all
right.
It Dion Lacey, because at that time, the play on the field, the inadvertent whistle had blown, and the Eskimo players told me that they knew the whistle had blown early,
yep.
right?
Yep.
They players, because the official on the sidelines, it wasn't the official in the middle of the field in the replay that people think.
Right.
It was the official on the sidelines who blew the whistle. The players on the Eskimos, to their credit, they said, yeah, we heard it. We kind of knew it. The guy's standing there right away.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously hoped that maybe, you know, the players on the field or other guys didn't hear it. But the Lacey penalty was just announced wrong. It's a penalty automatically.
Yes.
You can't, even if, let's say, it's a pass that's knocked down, you guys, as the defensive player, can't pick up the ball and then kick it.
Right.
Okay.
Essentially, that is correct. You just leave the other guy's football alone. It's, you know, it's a taunting type of situation where you there are certain things that you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
That's one of them.
But if there had been no whistle, and he scores on that play, he's totally allowed then to celebrate in the end zone by kicking the ball. Because at that point, it's his possession.
Just don't kick it in up into the director's lounge there.
Yes.
I mean, we have to have the ability to recover that football. The ball person has to be able to go and get the ball.
So a player now, you can't even throw, like after you score a touchdown, you can't even take it into the end zone and give it to a fan?
A defensive player scoring a touchdown cannot give the other team's football to a fan. No.
Oh, a defensive player, because each team has their own football.
That's right. We've got offensive footballs for both squads. And, you know, in theory, every time there's a Calgary ball laying on the field, Edmonton could go and throw them all into the stands and go, nah, now you have to play with the kicking ball or play with our football. So...
Bud Steen joins us inside the stripes. Now, you know, a play like that, Kim Murphy was the referee in the West Final, and Al Bradbury was the referee in the East Final. And, you know, we'll find out on Thursday which one is going to be the official. I know that you had told us last week that the guys who do the Grey Cup game will kind of be mix and match from these two games. And
as well as you know, some guys may be coming from the semifinal weekend as well. What we do is we look at... you know, how many weeks in a row they've been working. So it could very well be that we've given somebody a week off so that they're well rested for Grey Cup. So we may find guys from semifinal weekend working Grey Cup.
Is that usual, or would that suggest that some players, because I think you told us last week that unless they play themselves out of the game, and maybe in this case that possibly would happen. Like if you had two side judges, I'm just using that position, who both had a real bad day, somebody from the semifinal could jump over both.
Yes.
Okay. Is that going to happen?
Well, let's say I haven't seen the evaluation results from the Western final. I did the Eastern final, and it was probably the best officiated football game of the season. I could find very little wrong in the officiating in that game. The guys had just a heck of a ball game. And, you know, I honestly saw very little that was not called. There was one play that was a little offensive, and it would have been nice to see a flag on it. But beyond that, the guys got everything right.
Now, I know we had a lot of texts from defensive players, I'm assuming they're defensive guys based on their text message when they played, that finally a defensive player who got stiff-armed, there was a face-masking penalty against the ball carrier.
There's nothing wrong with the ball carrier using a stiff arm.
Yeah, you can put your hand even in the face of the defender.
Yes.
It's just you can't latch onto the mask.
Correct. You can't curl your fingers around that mask. And he actually gave him a little bit of a jiggle. And, you know, I know the fellow that threw the flag. We talked after the game. He was absolutely certain... I saw the replay. That was a penalty. And the fellow that threw the flag had actually come out and worked a few practices with me this year, so he was known to the team. Coach was familiar with him, and he went down and explained to him. And Coach Jones was more than a little miffed that the flag was on the ground, and the official explained to him that, no, look, I'm not going to throw a cheap one today. This is the Western Final. You know, I had to call it, and Jones accepted it. So...
Now, the first half, Edmonton had one penalty for 5 yards. Calgary had seven. There's only eight penalties in the first half. And I think what's frustrating, likely from your vantage point as the official group, was the Messam fumble got so much attention. It lasted so long, and there were so many errors on it that it gave the impression that the rest, like the entire game, was badly officiated.
Yeah.
But overall, it wasn't.
No,
but that one play was so egregious that I think it left everybody with a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah, well, bad taste. Just think how bad it would have been if the Eskimos had somehow managed to lose that football game. That would have been an incredibly bad taste. You know, we got to call a spade a shovel here, and the fact is, it didn't look good, and it did put a cloud over the whole performance of that crew. And you know, if you're a professional football official, you will not get through an entire career without blowing an inadvertent whistle. It happens. Stuff happens. I feel the guy's pain. You know, I've experienced it myself. there's not a hole that opens in the turf fast enough for you to crawl into. You want to disappear. And now here's a guy who's going to have to think about this until 2016 season starts. Let's just say it's going to eat him. There's just no way around it.
But Steen joins us inside the Stripes. We continue on, and we'll get more into the CFL. But I do want to ask about the NFL game last night. Of course, really the play at the end of it, because they did have an inadvertent whistle. Funny enough, in the NFL game, if people didn't see it or not, on the Brady play when the line judge ran into Rex Ryan, so he blows the whistle because he feels he can't see the play, and it's automatically dead. Mm-hmm. But the play at the end of the game with Sammy Watkins going to the sidelines, and their head linesman ruled that Watkins had surrendered himself as down and not advancing. Now, first of all, that rule wouldn't be in play in the CFL.
No, that's a foreign concept to us.
Yeah.
In the CFL, a ball player can run out of bounds whenever they want to. And as soon...
But even if the player goes down, because the clock stops in the CFL, that's the difference, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, as we were talking during the break, there's nothing that says that a player can't turn and throw the ball out of bounds and stop the clock by doing it.
And most players don't know that, do they?
Most coaches don't know that, really. I mean, there's a minor difference in terms of when the clock starts on the next play. You differentiate between whether the ball went out of bounds or was carried out of bounds. But beyond that, when that ball goes out of bounds, you stop the game. You stop the clock.
So if you're a receiver and you catch it at the hash marks and you've got six strides to get to the sidelines to stop the clock, if you just throw the ball, now what if you throw it forward? Is that considered a forward pass and a penalty?
It's considered an offside pass, so you cannot advance the ball ahead of where you were standing when you threw it. But the same principles apply. When that ball goes out of bounds, touches something out of bounds, then you stop the play.
So then what if you're at the 50-yard line, right, where you're and you're running towards the sideline, and then you throw it, but it ends up going behind you and out at the 45? Is the ball scrimmage at the 45 then?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you're better off as a player than to always throw it forward.
Well,
because you're not going to lose any yards. You're going to be at the 50.
Yeah, chances are you're going to be at the 50. That is correct. Now, having said what we just said, we the officials on the field have to observe that it went forward as well. So we've got to be up beside you. So if we're doing our job, we see that it has been thrown forward. Fine, we toss our flag and it comes back to that particular spot. Now the other team can say, no, that's fine. You can have it at the 55 instead of the 50. They're not going to give you 5 free yards, but they can do that.
Now, it's not a loss of downs or anything else
attributed
to that flag?
Nope.
Okay. Interesting.
No.
I'd love to do that quiz because, I didn't know that. I guarantee you most fans and most players didn't know that.
You know, the interesting, you've got to be careful on how you get that ball out, because if you happen to kick it out, now we got a different rule, because as soon as you kick the ball out of bounds, it belongs to the other team.
Now, we had a lot of people texting the show today suggesting that because you have video review, that the officials on the field now, there should never be a premature whistle because video will correct everything, and rather than blow it down before a play's dead, they should always err on the side of caution. Has that been instructed to the officials? Do you abide by that? Or to me, is that's just slowly taking the judgment call out of the hands of officials?
The officials on the field will not officiate to replay. That is to say, it's as if replay does not exist. The officials on the field are making the decisions. They're making their judgments based on what they're seeing. And if all of a sudden replay pops up, fine. You know, we've trained them now that, you know, don't hang your head in shame and, you know, go home and slit your wrists. You know, it just is something that happens. But no, absolutely not. We are not going to officiate to have it changed by replay, because that undermines all of the judgments that we're employing when we're officiating a football game. You've got to be on your toes, on top of things. You can't back off. Otherwise, you could, you know, hire a troop of trained monkeys who could find a football and go and set it somewhere on the field and let the players play. And that's Nobody wants that. The teams don't want it. The fans don't want it. Nobody wants it. You know, I think what fans have to realize is that everyone that's on that field is a human. And as a part of the human condition, mistakes occur. Coaching, there are mistakes in coaching. Players make mistakes. And the officials make mistakes. And it's just part of the game. And we're not looking to get every, you know, it's so sterile that there could not possibly be a mistake. Because it, frankly, it would take all of the fun and excitement out of the game.
Yeah, and you said off the top that you know, the league, everyone was disappointed in the play with Messam, and not just the inadvertent whistle. That ended up actually almost being kind of a, you know, the smaller part of it.
Sidebar, yeah.
Right, because how the replay was handled was the bigger error. So how do you ensure that that doesn't happen in the Grey Cup on Sunday?
Well, that's a good question. We have two replay officials on during the Grey Cup. I'm on during the Grey Cup. I was not on during the Western Final. Had I been on during the Western Final, there would have been a lot of screaming happening. Not that I'm perfect, but the dynamic of the entire process is such that in sometimes you just have to have the right information coming to people, and you know, it was just such a schmozzle that without being on the line, I can only assume that there was an awful lot of talking, a lot of stuff being discussed, and that can lead to errors. So we got to really settle things down and just, guys, just back off. Let's think for a second. Now, one at a time. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think?
And so when Command Center, they talk directly, and it was Walters was the referee. He's got the
Murphy.
Head. Murphy, excuse me. They're talking directly to him alone. And now, are the other six guys on the field, are they instructed to zip their lip? Because if he's trying, you know what I mean? Like, if he's having conversation with those guys and he's trying to hear in his ear.
We've got two systems. The other six guys hear what's being discussed, but they cannot input.
Okay.
The only person that can input is the referee. The referee's on what we call refcom, and the other officials are on what we call crewcom, and
okay.
The crew can discuss. So the side judge and the back judge, even though they're 65 yards apart, can talk during the game, and we in. On the replay system can't hear what's being discussed, but the referee can be talking to Toronto and talking to the game day supervisor, and you know, getting some guidance, sharing some information, or getting some direction.
The announcement for the crew will be Thursday.
Yes, it will. It's coming out Thursday. You know, it's a very strong crew. I know who's on it. It's going to be a well-officiated football game.
Do guys who are from Edmonton and Ottawa, like, so I know in some sports, well, if you're from Canada, you can't referee the gold medal game, which to me is like the ultimate insult to your officials by saying that you're biased.
It used to be that way.
It's not that way now?
No. Years and years ago, we had a situation. In 1983, we had one of our deep officials who ended up having to have his children driven to school by the police because of death threats. And at that point, the league went, hold on here. We've got to protect the guys. If something were to happen in the Grey Cup, they'd probably have to sell their house and move. So for a number of years, probably about 20 years, if Edmonton was in, I was out. That's no longer the case. What we're taking now are the best officials at their positions, and we put together the crew based on performance, and we will bring in some other factors, because sometimes the difference between one and two is really so minute that it really doesn't mean anything. So there can be some other factors that are considered when we cobble together the crew. But Edmonton guys and Ottawa guys are not out of this one, and we may find some Edmonton officials on the field on Sunday afternoon. And again, it's going to be a great game. Henry Burris is playing probably the best football of his career, and the Eskimos are peaking at just the right time.
Winners of 9 in a row, and their offense is on fire lately. Bud, we will see you down in Winnipeg.
Well, you won't.
I won't see you, but I will see the rest of them.
You sure will. I'm working the game from home. And